This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Steve Inskeep is on assignment. I'm Ari Shapiro.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Governor Sarah Palin and Senator Joe Biden met for the first time last night on stage at Washington University in St. Louis. They squared off in the only vice presidential debate, certainly one of the most anticipated events of this campaign. Elsewhere in our program, we're bringing you a wrap-up of that debate and political analysis, plus reaction from voters at a debate viewing party. For the next few minutes, we're going to check the facts, just as predicted.
Tomorrow morning, you know, the pundits are going to start doing the who said what at what time, and we'll have proof of some of this.
Or at least a review and some additional information on some of the key claims made by Sarah Palin and Joe Biden. I'm joined by a team of NPR reporters. And the candidates started by talking about the economy and the financial bailout, and that's where we will start as well. Frank Langfitt, you've been covering the financial bailout crisis. Governor Palin gave credit to John McCain for seeing the crisis ahead of time. Here's what she had to say.
2 years ago, remember, it was John McCain who pushed so hard with the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac reform measures. He sounded that warning bell.
Warning bell. What about it, Frank?
Well, Sarah Palin may be the only one or one of the few who would remember that. In fact, it was Chuck Hagel, the Republican from Nebraska, who led that effort back in around 2005 to tighten regulation. The only thing I could find from McCain was a press release co-sponsoring it. And keep in mind, you know, the New York Times recently reported that Rick Davis, McCain's campaign manager, got nearly $2 million to serve as president of a group that actually defended Fannie and Freddie against tougher regulations.
Now, the debate about the bailout turned pretty quickly to the candidates' plans for the economy, and there was a back and forth on taxes. Here's Joe Biden.
No one making less than $250,000 under Barack Obama's plan will see one single penny of their tax raise, whether it's their capital gains tax, their income tax, investment tax, any tax.
Frank, is that right?
Mostly. There's a little exaggeration in that individuals who are making around $200,000 would pay higher taxes. And initially they had proposed actually raising capital gains, but now they've promised there won't be any of that.
Well, the McCain campaign is making a different point. Sarah Palin basically accused Barack Obama of raising taxes historically.
Barack Obama even supported increasing taxes as late as last year for those families making only $42,000 a year.
Is that right?
Well, this is misleading. That particular thing she's talking about is a non-binding resolution. But basically, the Obama plan is focused on taxing the wealthiest people and reducing taxes for middle and lower income people.
Frank Langfitt, thank you very much. And we're joined now by Martin Kosty, who's in Alaska. And Martin, Governor Palin also talked about her record, and we've heard her say many times that she stood up to the big oil companies. She also repeated last night something that she said often, and that is we in Alaska are building a $40 billion natural gas pipeline. She takes credit for that, considers it quite important. What, in fact, is the case with that pipeline? Because there are those who say it may not even get built.
She's trying to get that built. She has been making this the centerpiece of her administration, really. She wants this gas line built, but the way she's going about it is contrary to the way the oil industry normally works around here. She has passed legislation that would offer state money to outside companies to come in and bid on this. Well, only one company did bid on it, but no ground has been broken on this thing, and it is a huge project, and the state stands to spend a lot of money before it becomes a reality if it follows her plan.
When you say the state stands to spend a lot of money, what kind of money are you talking about there?
Well, they're talking about $500 million in what they call seed money, which would buy the state more control over the project, but it certainly would be far more expensive up front for the state than the traditional way of building pipelines around here.
Thanks, NPR's Martin Kosty. And one more domestic issue. NPR's Julie Rovner covers health care. And Julie, listen with us to Sarah Palin speaking about the John McCain proposal for covering more Americans.
He's proposing a $5,000 tax credit for families so that they can get out there and they can purchase their own health care coverage. And that's a smart thing to do. That's budget neutral. That doesn't cost the government anything.
Now, Julie, is John McCain's health care tax credit budget neutral?
Well, in a word, no. At one point, it was. It looked like the part Sarah Palin didn't talk about is that the way they would pay for that $5,000 tax credit is by taxing the value of people's health insurance, and that the taxes that people would pay would offset the tax credit. Now, Senator Biden did talk about that taxing, and he kind of went a little bit overboard and suggested that everybody would pay more. Now, for most people, all, the tax credit would offset the value of the taxes that would be paid. However, because of a change that the McCain campaign made to their proposal, there's now an estimate by the Tax Policy Center that over 10 years, the McCain plan would cost an extra $1.3 trillion. So it's pretty clearly not budget neutral.
Julie Robner, thanks very much. Now, shifting to foreign policy, the candidates went back and forth on Iraq and Afghanistan. So let's consider first this statement from Senator Biden.
We spend more money in 3 weeks on combat in Iraq than we spent on the entirety of the last 7 years that we have been in Afghanistan building that country. Let me say it again. 3 weeks in Iraq. 7 years, or 6.5 years in Afghanistan.
Tom Gelton, you cover intelligence and national security. Help us out here. Joe Biden is not comparing the full cost of the two wars here, is he?
No, Renee, but you had to be listening closely to get that nuance. In fact, a lot of us here thought at first he was saying that 3 weeks of war in Iraq cost as much as all 7 years of war in Afghanistan. But he was apparently comparing two different things, the cost of combat operations in Iraq and the cost of reconstruction in Afghanistan. You notice he said building that country. And if you compare those two things, he's not far off. We did find estimates from the Congressional Research Service that spending on foreign aid and diplomatic operations in Afghanistan over these last 7 years amounts to a little over $11 billion. That's since 2001. The CRS, meanwhile, puts Pentagon spending in Iraq over the last year as $145 billion. That comes out to about $8 billion per three-week period. So if you're comparing combat operations in Iraq and diplomacy in Afghanistan, then the statement is correct. But boy, I think that went over the heads of a lot of people.
And Tom, meanwhile, Governor Palin argued that the surge principles from Iraq need to be applied in Afghanistan. But then she got the name of the commanding U.S. general in Afghanistan wrong, didn't she?
Yes, you referred to General McClellan. It's actually General McKiernan. Senator Biden then came back and said General McKiernan has not, in fact, backed a surge strategy for Afghanistan. But this is kind of a semantic point. General McKiernan, in fact, was quoted yesterday as saying that surge is not the right word to describe what's needed in Afghanistan. But then he went on to say that a lot more troops are needed in Afghanistan and they need to get there as soon as possible. So that sounds like a surge. I think it's really kind of a semantic point here.
Tom, thanks very much. Now we turn to Michelle Kellerman, who covers foreign policy and diplomacy. And let's sort something out that keeps coming up in these debates. The question is, should the next U.S. president sit down with the leaders of Iran, North Korea, other so-called rogue states without preconditions? Now, there's some question about what preconditions means versus preparation. But has Barack Obama ever said he would sit down with President Ahmadinejad?
Well, as with anything in diplomacy, there's always a bit of nuance here. Barack Obama did say early on in the campaign that he would meet with the leaders of those countries without preconditions. But as Biden pointed out, Obama never did specify that he would meet with Ahmadinejad. Senator Biden said Iran's a theocracy and the president isn't necessarily the most powerful person on national security issues. And what he didn't mention also is that there are actually elections next year in Iran. So all of this argument might be for naught.
Michelle Kellerman, thanks very much. And lots of ground to cover on last night's debate. We were helped in that by Tom Gelton, Julie Robner, Martin Kosty, and Frank Langfitt. Thanks to you all for helping us sort out some of the facts.